In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This morning's sermon is based on the gospel lesson from John chapter 6. Jesus said, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me." Here ends the reading. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is called by John, the gospel writer who wrote this gospel we just read, in the very first chapter, under the Spirit's inspiration. Jesus is called the life of all men. And in that, we also hear about food, and it is a fact of life that everybody knows, whether they're a believer or not, that we as living creatures need food. Without food, our life is not sustained and blessed, but we grow hungry, we wither away, and we die without food. And so food and life are intimately tied. Jesus, prior to this text, had miraculously provided food in a place that had no food, no McDonald's, no stands to buy food, out in the wilderness, miraculously, by his word and blessing, fish and loaves were multiplied, and the people in the desert had their stomachs filled, their life sustained by Jesus in the desert. And after Jesus had done that miracle, they followed him. And they said to him, "We liked it when you filled our stomachs with food. We liked it when you sustained our life in that way. Lord, keep on giving us that food." But Jesus points away from that food, and he even points away from that miraculous food in the Old Testament, the manna by which God sustained his people for 40 years in the wilderness. He points away from that. And he points to himself, to his flesh and his blood. And he says to them, "This is the real food. This is the real sustenance. Turn away from the food that your belly craves and turn to true food, which is my flesh and my blood." This is a mysterious saying. And many people in that text at the end of John 6 leave Jesus and follow him no more, because of this saying that his flesh is food and his blood is drink. At this point, our hearts and our minds also might want to depart from Jesus. Oh, we might put up with calling preaching and the reading of God's word, quote unquote, the feeding of Jesus' sheep, but we think to ourselves, that's a metaphorical feeding. It's not really a real feeding. And even at this late morning hour, many of you might be listening to your stomachs right now and saying, "Pastor, make it a short sermon today because we can't wait to go out the door and get some real food, to go down to Leon's and get our stomachs filled." Well, you might well be thinking of that. Maybe you're smiling because of that. But it's a dangerous way of thinking, letting our stomachs guide ourselves instead of the Word of God. Letting our physical appetites steer us instead of the appetites of our eternal souls, which are not fed and nourished by what we get at Leon's, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, and indeed from the true food that we receive in the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore, it is my prayer under this text that we might be turned from our bellies to the treasure that our souls receive for their eternal blessing in the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ, so that we might not turn up our noses and say, "Oh, I don't want that food, I want some other," but that we might receive the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ to our satisfaction here in time and hereafter in eternity, and that we might enjoy that real flesh and blood of Christ, which is real food. Now, friends, getting into this sermon, first of all, I want to give a disclaimer. I don't want you to leave today and go down to Leon's and say to them, Pastor Baisley, Dr. Emmanuel, was putting down Leon's and telling us not to go there. That's not what I'm saying, and that's not what Jesus is saying in this text, to put down the earthly food and nourishment that God provides for us. Don't do it, because I like to go there, and I don't want to be banned from there. So please don't go to Leon's and tell them I'm bad-mouthing them. The food that we receive, it is a blessing from God for the sustenance for our bodies, and it is good. It is indeed a blessing of God. Don't we acknowledge our everyday food as a gift and a blessing from God, even as we share around the family table the prayer before we eat, or the Lord's Prayer, in which we say to God, keep on giving us that blessing, give us this day our daily bread. But if we are asked why food is not only necessary for the support of our life, but it was crowned with a great rich blessing from God, we should direct our question back to the very beginning when God gave the first food to Adam there in the garden to find out why it's such a blessing and why it's so good for us. Listen to God's words as he stood with Adam in the midst of his grocery store, the Garden of Eden. God says to Adam, of all the trees of the garden, you may freely eat. Now there's the blessing. God says it's all there for you. This is for your daily sustenance. See all those trees? They are not forbidden. You go and enjoy them every day. They are yours. And with that word of blessing, with that word of God, we learn why food is such a blessing to us, why we enjoy it so much. If we hadn't heard it before, we wouldn't know it. It's because God blessed that gift to Adam and Eve and to all of their children. Of all of these trees you may freely eat. But then God goes on to say, but of the tree in the midst of the garden you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So you see the blessing that food is, you may freely eat, but then you see that tree of the knowledge of good and evil that was forbidden of Adam and Eve, that God wanted to discipline them, to tell them, what I have forbidden is out of bounds for you. If you love and honor me as your father, you will honor and obey my law. But what happened? Under the temptation of Satan, God's curse became invoked. God said, in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And that is not blessing, but curse. And Adam and Eve ate, and Adam and Eve died. And from then on, men and women have eaten and not lived, but died. And that is why food falls under that consequence of sin under Romans 8, where St. Paul says that all of creation has been subjected to futility, which means that all of the purposes that God had for creation are thwarted. The food was supposed to do something for Adam and Eve, and now its purpose was thwarted. It would not happen. God's purpose for food for Adam and Eve is that it would provide daily sustenance for Adam and Eve and all of their children, all of their holy children who were born and made in the image of God. Until a certain day when Adam and Eve and their children, after they had disciplined themselves under the tree of knowledge, after they had conformed their will to the will of their gracious Father, would have been put to sleep, much like Adam was put to sleep to create Eve, and they would have been translated into heaven and into glory with the angels forever. That was the purpose of food, to keep them day to day, and as they ate of the tree of life, to be translated by that tree of life into eternal heaven. Now, sin thwarted that. Food is no longer that. Food merely keeps us alive for a while, and its purpose is thwarted, because if that's the only food that we have, we will die. And if we are not saved before we die, we will die eternally under God's curse for sin. We can learn this from our food itself. Look at your food. It's in your refrigerator right now. But what is your refrigerator but something like a mini morgue? there are dead things in there. In fact, if you take them out of your refrigerator, they will rot and you don't have to eat them. They will consume themselves. Even the right kind of foods left in your refrigerator trying to be preserved will turn into a science experiment and be green with mold before you know it. And so you see, food is thwarted in the purposes of God. It rots, it decays, it consumes itself. And as someone said, we are what we eat. We are the same way under God's curse. We may be preserved day to day by food, but that food that we eat is not sufficient to bring us eternal life. You see, that food is thwarted in its purpose, just like God's law is thwarted in its purpose towards people. God's law was given to us to preserve us. Following the law, Adam and Eve would have been preserved. But now that sin has come into the world, it preserves the world by preserving families and the sanctity of families, by reserving sex and procreation for marriage. In society, it takes murderers out so that people survive. In society, it takes robbers out of circulation so that the things that God has given us are preserved to us. And yet the law is thwarted in its goal of preserving us, because even if we are honorable citizens, we all die. It cannot preserve our life. And so you see, food, like the law of God, is subjected to futility. It cannot accomplish its purpose to sustain us and save us, not because of God's fault or because of His plan, but because of human sin. Therefore, friends, that food that you get at Leon's is not real food. It will not sustain your life forever. You need a better food. You need a food that will sustain you forever. And that's why Christ talks about the real food. My flesh is the real food, and my blood is the real drink. God's word of blessing that was removed from mankind and all creation by human sin is brought and restored, but only in one place: in the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. That's the package that has the whole deal of blessing from God. It is the human flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In that flesh is God's restoring blessing to fallen mankind. As it was literally the eating of disbelief of that forbidden fruit of the forbidden tree that sent mankind, Adam and Eve, and all of us, their children, into a curse, it is the eating of faith of the tree that is not forbidden but inviting, the tree of life that has been given to us at Golgotha, a new garden. Surely this tree looks different than the tree that Adam and Eve were forbidden and ate, for that tree was lush and green. This tree of life is a dead tree. It's a cut down tree. It's a cross tree of curse. But hanging on that tree is the fruit of blessing. Hanging on that tree is the sacrifice that was provided for fallen mankind in the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. And in this text, when he's talking about flesh and blood, he's not just saying the whole me, nothing left out because I'm flesh and blood. He's talking about a separation of flesh and blood. He's talking about a sacrifice, because that's where flesh and blood are separated, in death, in sacrifice. He says, I give my flesh for the life of the world. And so this body and blood, this death, is the life of all men, because that sacrifice was given for the sin of all human beings, so that those who are bit by the poison of curse can, in the midst of that curse, turn to that Jesus and find that tree and eat of that tree and live. But what does it mean to eat of that tree? It is not merely looking at the crucifix, looking at the crucified Jesus and saying, I recognize that. I know that that is a God and man in one person. It's more than that. It's more than just saying, that God and man on the cross, you know what he did? He died on that cross for the sins and the curse of every human being It's more than that. That's an intellectual looking at something. That's an analytical looking at something, but it's not yet eating. Eating of the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ is to see that God-man hanging there for me. It's recognizing the burden of sin that is on my heart, a burden that is so heavy in my life and makes me so sorrowful and contrite before God that I fear before God. I fear because the devil is around me, and with that sin he will take me away. I fear because on my own I can do nothing but perish, for I am a sinner. Eating of that cross is being in that condition, being hungry, and seeing the fruit that God has provided. In the words of Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And drinking those in. He's died not just for the world, not just for the burden of the world, but the burdens of my heart. God's disappointment with me because I have lived according to my agenda instead of according to His law. Because I have listened to my belly that ached for the things of this world instead of the need for my soul for a food that is eternal. When I look at that in hunger and say, it's the only way that I in my burden can turn from my burden, turn from my sin and be rid of it in order to have God for me. That eating, Jesus says, makes us then dependent, but it also makes us then holy and united with God. He says, just as I have life from the Father, I live because I am eternally begotten of the Father. When a sinner turns and eats of Christ, he says, I live, but not because of me, not because of I have rights before God, not because I'm good, but because of this fruit, because I have tasted the mercy that God has given me in Jesus Christ, my Lord. And I have tasted His mercy, and it is good. I have tasted the burden that He bore because it was my burden, and I am relieved of it. I have tasted what it means to be a prodigal son, and I have been embraced in the mercy of Jesus Christ. I am saved. That, my friends, is the eating of Jesus Christ. And we may think of it as a week by week and day by day eating, but it's not. As we tasted it in the waters of our holy baptism, as we were incorporated into Christ and became His children in the baptism, it is one feast. As we learned in the catechism of our sin through the Ten Commandments and the grace God gives us in the church, it is one feast. As we come together week by week and receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ in the sacrament, it is one feast. Because it is one Lord that saves us throughout. And He preserves us with that feast in time, in hope, looking forward to the day when we will be perfect and holy with God, and preserves us into eternity. And so you see, that is the true food that preserves the people of God in this life until God takes them into eternal life. And with that, all of the rest of the food that God gives us is blessed. All of the food that we receive at Leon's is brought back to its original purpose, because then that food nourishes our body as we look forward in hope to the time when we come to heaven. It nourishes our praise to God, no longer boasting of ourselves and the things that we have done, but having one boast in what God has done for us. And it preserves our body not in self-service and self-love, but in love as Christ had to the world. Sharing with others the feast that we have received for ourselves. With all that, we receive everyday bread with thanksgiving as it is restored in purpose through the bread of life that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And may the peace that that gives us that surpasses our understanding then keep your hearts and your minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.